This is an audiobook recording of Then I Was Guided by Muhammad Al-Tijani Al-Samawi. Details, purchase, and access to a copy of the book have been listed in the description box. Please enjoy and let us all be lazy intellectuals. Peace. Then I Was Guided by Muhammad Al-Tijani Al-Samawi. Chapter 9. A meeting with the al-ulama, the learned men. My friend took me to a mosque near the mausoleum, where the floors were covered by carpets, and around its mihrab there were some Quranic verses engraved in beautiful calligraphy. I noticed a few turbaned youngsters sitting near the mihrab studying, and each one of them had a book in his hand. I was impressed by the scene, since I've never seen sheikhs aged between 13 and 16, and what made them look so cute were their costumes. My friend asked them about the master, Al-Sayyid, so they told him that he was leading the prayer. I did not know what he meant by Al-Sayyid and thought that he might be one of the ulama, but later I realized it was Al-Sayyid Al-Khuy, the leader of the Shiite community. It is worth noting here that the title Sayyid, master for the Shia, is given to those who are the descendants of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And the Sayyid, whether he is a student or an alim, learned man, wears a black turban, but other ulama usually wear white turbans and bear the title of Sheikh. There are other notables, al-Ashraf, who are not ulama and wear a green turban. My friend asked them if I could sit with them whilst he went to meet al-Sayyid. They welcomed me and sat around me in a semicircle, and I looked at their faces, which were full of innocence and purity. And then I remembered the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, man is born to live by nature, so his parents could make him a Jew or a Christian or a Magus. And I said to myself, or make him a Shi'i. They asked me which country I came from. I answered, from Tunisia. They asked, have you got religious schools? I answered, we have universities and schools. I was bombarded by questions from all sides, and all the questions were sharp and concentrated. What could I say to those innocent boys who thought that the Islamic world was full of religious schools where they teach jurisprudence, Islamic law, principles of Islam, and Quranic commentary? They did not know that in the modern world of Islam, we have changed the Quranic schools to kindergartens supervised by Christian nuns. So should I tell them that they are considered by us as being backwards? One of the boys asked me, which madhab, religious school, is followed in Tunis? I said, the Maliki madhab, and noticed that some of them laughed, but I did not pay much attention. He asked me, do you not know the Ja'fari madhab? I said, what is this new name? No, we only know four madhahib, and apart from that, it is not within Islam. He smiled and said, the Ja'fari madhab is the essence of Islam. Do you not know that Imam Abu Hanifa studied under Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq? And that Abu Hanifa said, without the 2 years, al-Nu'man would have perished. I remained silent and did not answer, for I had heard a name that I had never heard before, but thanked Allah that he, i.e. the Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, was not a teacher of Imam Malik, and said that we are Malikis, not Hanafis. He said, the four madhahib took from each other. Ahmed ibn Hanbal took from al-Shafi, and al-Shafi took from Malik, and Malik took from Abu Hanifa, and Abu Hanifa from Ja'far al-Sadiq. Therefore, all of them were students of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, who was the first to open an Islamic university in the mosque of his grandfather, the Messenger of Allah, and under him studied no less than 4,000 jurisprudents and specialists in hadith, prophetic traditions. I was surprised by the intelligence of that young boy, who seemed to have learnt what he was saying in the same way that one recites a surah from the Quran. I was even more astonished when he started telling me some historical references, which he knew the number of their volumes and chapters, and he continued with his discussion as if he was a teacher teaching a student. In fact, I felt weak before him and wished that I had gone with my friend instead of staying with the young boys. I was not able to answer every question connected with jurisprudence or history that they asked me. He asked me which of the Imams I followed. I said, Imam Malik. He said, How do you follow a dead man with 14 centuries between you and him? If you want to ask him a question about current issues, would he answer you? I thought for a little while and then said, Your Jaffa also died 14 centuries ago, so whom do you follow? He and the other boys answered me quickly, We follow Al-Sayyid Al-Khuy, for he is our Imam. I do not know who was more knowledgeable, Al-Khuy or Jaffa al-Sadiq. I tried my best to change the subject, so I kept asking them questions such as, What is the population of Al-Najaf? How far is Al-Najaf from Baghdad? Do they know other countries besides Iraq? And every time they answered, I prepared another question for them to prevent them from asking me, for I felt incapable of matching their knowledge, but I refused to admit it, despite the fact that inside myself, I accepted defeat. The days of glory and scholarship in Egypt had dissipated here, especially after meeting those youngsters, and then I remembered the following wise words. Say to him who claims knowledge in philosophy, You have known one thing, but you are still unaware of many things. I thought that the minds of those young boys were greater than the minds of those sheikhs whom I had met in Al-Azhar and the minds of our sheikhs in Tunisia. Al-Sayyid Al-Khuy entered the place, and with him came a group of ulama who looked respectable and dignified, and all the boys stood up, and me with them. Then each one of them approached Al-Sayyid to kiss his hand, but I stayed rigid in my place. Al-Sayyid did not sit down until everybody had sat down. Then he started greeting them one by one, and he was greeted back by each individual until my turn came, so I replied in the same way. After that, my friend, who had whispered to Al-Sayyid, pointed to me to get nearer to Al-Sayyid, which I did, and he sat me to his right. After we exchanged the greetings, my friend said to me, Tell Al-Sayyid the things that you hear in Tunisia about the Shia. I said, Brother, let us forget about the stories we hear from here and there. I want to know for myself what the Shia say, so I want frank answers to some questions that I have. My friend insisted that I should inform Al-Sayyid about what we thought of Al-Shia. I said, We consider the Shia to be harder on Islam than the Christians and Jews, because they worship Allah and believe in the message of Musa, may Allah grant him peace. But we hear that the Shia worship Ali and consider him to be sacred, and there is a sect among them who worship Allah, but put Ali at the same level as the messenger of Allah. Also, I told him the story about how the angel Gabriel betrayed his charge, as they say. So instead of giving the message to Ali, he gave it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Al-Sayyid remained silent for a little while, with his head down. Then he looked at me and said, We believe that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is the messenger of Allah, and that Ali was but a servant of Allah. He turned to his audience and said, indicating to me, Look at these innocent people, how they have been brainwashed by the false rumors, and this is not surprising, for I heard more than that from other people. So we say there is no power or strength save in Allah, the highest and the greatest. Then he turned to me and said, Have you read the Quran? I answered, I could recite half of it by heart before I was 10. He said, Do you know that all the Islamic groups, regardless of their sect, agree on the Holy Quran? For our Quran is the same as yours. I said, Yes, I know that. He said, Have you not read the words of Allah, praise be to him, the sublime? And Muhammad is no more than a messenger. The messengers have already passed away before him. Holy Quran 3 verse 144. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are firm of heart against the unbelievers. Holy Quran 48 verse 29. Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. Holy Quran 33 verse 40. I said, Yes, I know these Quranic verses. He said, Where is Ali then? If our Quran says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is the messenger of Allah, so where did this lie come from? I remained silent and could not find an answer. He added, As for the betrayal of Gabriel, God forbid, it is worse than the first, Because when Allah sent Gabriel unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was 40 years old then, and Ali was a lad of 6 or 7 years. So how could Gabriel make a mistake and not differentiate between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the man, and Ali, the lad? He stayed silent for a long time, and I started thinking about what he had said, which appeared to me as logical reasoning, so that it left a deep impression on me. And I asked myself why we did not base our analysis on such logical reasoning. Sayyid Al-Khoi added, I would like to inform you that the Shia is the only group among all the Islamic groups which believe in the infallibility of the prophets and the imams. So if our imams, may Allah grant them peace, are infallible and they are human beings like us, then how about Gabriel, who is an angel favored by Allah, and he called him the faithful spirit? I asked, where did all these rumors come from? He said, from the enemies of Islam who want to divide the Muslims into groups that fight each other. Otherwise, Muslims are brothers, whether they are Shia or Sunni, for all of them worship Allah alone and do not associate any other god with him, and they have one Quran, one prophet, and one Qibla, direction to which Muslims turn in praying, i.e. Kaaba. The Shia and the Sunni only differ on issues regarding jurisprudence in the same way that the different schools of jurisprudence in the Sunni school differ among each other, as Malik did not agree all the way with Abu Hanifa, who himself did not agree all the way with Al-Shafi, and so on. I said, therefore, all the things which have been said about you are just lies? He said, you, praise be to Allah, are a sensible man and could comprehend things. You have seen the Shi'i countries and have travelled in their midst. So did you hear or see anything related to these lies? I said, no. I have not seen or heard anything but good things, and I thank Allah for giving me the opportunity to meet Mr. Mu'nim on the ship, since he was the reason for my presence in Iraq, and indeed I have learnt many things that I had not known before. My friend Mu'nim said, with a smile, including the existence of a grave for Imam Ali. I winked at him and said, in fact, I have learnt many new things, even from those young lads, and wish I had had the opportunity to learn as they do in this religious school. Al-Sayyid said, welcome. If you want to study here, then there will be a place for you in this school. Everybody welcomed the suggestion, especially my friend Mu'nim, whose face was full of joy. I said, I'm a married man with 2 boys. He said, we will take care of your accommodation and living, and whatever you need, but the important thing is learning. I thought for a little while and said to myself, it does not seem acceptable to become a student after having spent 5 years as a teacher and educationalist, and it is not easy to take a decision so hastily. I thanked Al-Sayyid Al-Khoi for his offer, and I told him that I would think about the matter seriously after I came back from Al-Umrah. But I need some books. Al-Sayyid said, give him the books. A group of learned people stood up and went to their book cabinets, and after a few minutes, each one of them presented me with a book, so I had more than 70. I realized that I could not carry all these books with me, especially as I was going to Saudi Arabia, where the authorities censor any book entering their countries, lest new ideas get published, in particular those which do not agree with their creed. However, I did not want to miss the chance of having all these books, which I had never seen in all my life. I said to my friend and the rest of the people that I had a long journey ahead of me, passing through Damascus, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, and on my way back, my journey would be even longer, for I would travel through Egypt and Libya until I reached Tunisia. And besides, the weight of these books was the fact that most of the countries prohibit the entry of these books to their territories. Al-Sayyid said, leave us your address and we will send them to you. I liked the idea and gave him my personal card with my address in Tunis on it. Also, I thanked him for his generosity, and when I was about to leave him, he stood up and said to me, may Allah grant you safety. And if you stand by the grave of my forefather, the Messenger of Allah, please pass my greetings to him. Everybody, including myself, was moved by what Al-Sayyid had said, and I noticed that tears were coming from his eyes. And then I said to myself, God forbid that such a man could be wrong or a liar. His dignity, his greatness, and his modesty tell you that he is truly a descendant of the Prophet. I could not help myself but to take his hand and kiss it, in spite of his refusal. When I stood up to go, everybody stood and said farewell to me, and some of the young lads from the religious schools followed me and asked me for my address for future correspondence, and I gave it to them. We went back to Al-Kufa after an invitation from a friend of Mu'nim, whose name was Abu Shubah, and stayed in his house, where we spent a whole night socializing with a group of intellectual young people. Among those people were some students of Al-Sayyid Muhammad Bakr Al-Sadr, who suggested that I should meet him, and they promised to arrange an interview with him on the day after. My friend Mu'nim liked the idea, but apologized for not being able to be present at the meeting because he had a prior engagement in Baghdad. We agreed that I would stay in Abu Shubah's house for 3 or 4 days until Mu'nim came back. Mu'nim left us shortly after the dawn prayers, and we went to sleep. I benefited so much from these students and was surprised about the variety of subjects they studied in the religious school. In addition to the Islamic studies, which include jurisprudence, Islamic law, Sharia, and Tawheed, Islamic theology, they studied economics, sociology, politics, history, languages, astronomy, and a few more subjects. End of chapter 9.